It was the Apostle Paul in writing to the believers in Galatia. He was to pen those words. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. I know what he meant. He was warning the believers of those who came with another gospel, and it was not another gospel at all. The sentence upon such a one was, let him be accursed. Those are not my words. Those are the words of God himself. There are plenty in our land tonight, and they are about this troubling business of twisting the message and perverting the gospel of Christ. For in the words of Jude, we could say that they are gone in the way of Cain. What do we mean? Well, we mean simply this, that there are those who seek to betray themselves as the messengers of God, and who are supposed to preach the everlasting gospel of Christ, but like Cain, it is bloodless. Cain sought to approach God without the shed blood, and his offering was unacceptable. And there are preachers tonight who will stand forth, and they'll tell forth a message of sorts, but it is bloodless. The modernist, or many of the clerics of today, do not want to take their people down that road. They stay clear of Calvary. And if mentioned at all, they only mention it in the context of the love of God. And while there is the love of God seen at Calvary, and we thank God for that, yet I want you to appreciate tonight that Calvary speaks to us also of the wrath of God. And the wrath of God poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For he was to take the wrath of God against sin that was due to a sinner like me. And therefore I can do no else than to make much of Calvary and to preach Christ and him crucified. And while to them that perish it is foolishness, to us who are saved it means everything. For it is the power of God unto salvation. But this evening, I want us to look at Calvary from afar off. In fact, I want us to take it from the standpoint of the Passover night in the land of Egypt. But it is to one particular aspect that I want to draw your attention to, and that is the blood of the Passover lamb. I want to ask a question before I proceed. What does the blood mean to you tonight? I suggest to you that the answer to that question, it determines whether you're saved or not. The text of Scripture is verse 22 of Exodus chapter 12. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. I want you to see first of all and consider with me the preciousness of the blood. You see, the last of the plagues that God was to send to the land of Egypt was to be the death of the firstborn in every home and throughout the country. But for the deliverance of the children of Israel, this was to be the beginning of the Passover, for they were instructed to take the lamb, and they were to kill the lamb, they were to shed its blood. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it goes without saying, therefore, that the blood of the slain lamb, it was special. And just how special it was, you can glean with me as we look at the words of verse 5 and how they were to consider the lamb that was to be chosen and taken to be slain. For you'll notice in verse 5 it says, it was to be a lamb without blemish. In fact, they were to inspect that lamb for 4 days to see if there was no flaws in the lamb. And after that 4-day period, if they determined that the lamb was a spotless lamb, then that lamb qualified to be chosen, qualified to be killed, and its blood shed for the deliverance of those homes. It is an interesting thought that the first time that you will come across the word lamb in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham is seen to be taking his son Isaac up Mount Moriah. And Isaac has the fire and he has the wood. But he turns to his father and he says to his father Abraham, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And that's the first time you see lamb in the scriptures. And Abraham replies that God will supply himself a lamb. And all throughout the Old Testament, there are passages which speak to us about the lamb. Isaiah 53, of course, comes to mind. But all throughout the Old Testament, and the question is, where is the lamb? The first time you read of lamb in the New Testament, however, is in John 1, verse 29. And there John the Baptist on the banks of the River Jordan, he's preaching to the congregation, and he lifts up his eyes, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and he says to them, "Behold the Lamb! Behold the Lamb of God, which beareth away the sin of the world." The Old Testament asks the question, "Where is the Lamb?" The New Testament answers, "Behold the Lamb." That Lamb is Christ. And you must give attention to the Lamb of God. And every testimony given of Christ is that it was a sinless Lamb. He was without guile. There was no sin in him. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 and 19, "We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." His person and his blood was spotless. And it was so because Christ was virgin born. And that's important. Who the modernists will seek to do away with that fundamental truth of the gospel. But I tell you that's important tonight. Because I read in Acts chapter 17 that God hath made of one blood all nations of men. And that means that although there may be different blood types, it is all the same blood. But the problem is that because of Adam's sin, it is tainted blood. But the Savior, being virgin born, had not blood tainted by human sin. It was perfect, sinless blood of God. And the Lamb chosen in the Passover night speaks of Christ, for He was the sinless Lamb without blemish. But not only was it sinless, but you'll notice also that the blood was shed. The blood of the Passover lamb had to be shed. It was not enough to have a lamb for a household, even though that lamb was without blemish, even though that lamb was perfect. There was no salvation in and of that in itself. The lamb had to be slain. Look at the words of verse 21. Moses speaking to the elders, he says, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover." The death of the lamb was required at the Passover. It was the dying lamb, it was the shed blood that provided salvation. And dear soul, tonight, it's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that still procures our salvation to this day. For I want you to listen, or maybe you can look up Hebrews chapter 9 in the words of verse 22. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood." And without shedding of blood, listen, there is no remission. The blood had to be shed. God's Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to shed His precious blood if there was ever salvation to be purchased for His own people in the midst of a dying world. It had to be shed blood. But something further that tells you and me that this blood was special and precious is the fact that in verse 22 you read of it, it was collected in the basin. The hyssop was to be dipped in the blood that is in the basin. And run your eye down the words of verse 22, my text, and you will notice that that little phrase is the blood that is in the basin. It is repeated twice over for emphasis sake. It was collected in the basin. The blood of the slain lamb on the night of the Passover, it was not permitted to run to the ground. It was not spilt there. It was not trampled underfoot. There is no mention of the blood being put on the threshold of the door of the home. It was precious blood, too precious to be trampled upon. It was counted so precious that it was collected into the basin. Spotless blood, shed blood, collected blood. My dear friend, tonight, how much more precious is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That blood that flowed from Emmanuel's sinless veins for the pardon and for the salvation of his people. His blood did not spill into the ground upon Mount Calvary. It did not congeal away there. It was not trampled upon. For I read the words of Hebrews 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, listen, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I can't explain that, but I believe it. And just as the Old Testament high priest would present the blood of the substitutory lamb on the day of atonement for the sins of the people, so our great high priest, so the Lord Jesus Christ, was to present his own blood before God the Father on behalf of and for the sake of his own people. And he did so having finished the work, having obtained the eternal redemption for us. It took nothing less than the blood of the Lamb to procure pardon and to appease the wrath of God against our sin. Leviticus 17 and verse 11 reminds us, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Let me ask you just at this point, tell me, what do you think of the precious blood of Christ? Does it mean anything to you that pass by? I want to read a very solemn verse to you. It is Hebrews 10 and verse 29, of how much sore punishment. You see, the previous verse speaks of those who despised the law of Moses and were slain at the mouth of two or three witnesses. And then it goes on and says, how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Of how much sorer punishment you think will be your portion for every time hearing the gospel you've gone out through those doors rejecting God's Son, and hearing the blood preached, you as it were have trampled under foot, counted it as an unholy thing. It's a very solemn verse. It's solemn because there are those in this meeting tonight, and I put it to you, you're guilty of it. And you have been guilty of it. But to the child of God, there is the preciousness of the blood. Let me take you a little further. Let me show you secondly here the application of the blood. While we have been considering the preciousness of the blood, I want you to see that because the family killed the lamb, because the family collected its blood, that wasn't sufficient for them to escape the terror of the death angel. Let me read the verse to you. Ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. In other words, there had to be the application of the blood, or they would know the visit of the death angel just as the Egyptian homes were to as well. The blood had to be applied. And it had to be applied because this was a divine command. If you look back at the first verse of the chapter, you'll notice that this was a message which God gave to Moses. It says there, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, here's a word from God. And what follows in the chapter is a directive of God. He was sending the death angel as the tenth and final plague. The Passover lambs were to be taken and they were to be slain. But the difference that God would see between the Egyptian homes and the homes of the children of Israel would be the sign of the blood applied. I read in the words of verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the homes wherein they shall eat it. That's God's message. That's God's commandment. And that was the message per se that Moses now delivers to the elders of Israel, as we read in verse 21. God gave Moses and Aaron the message. Aaron and Moses, they turned to the elders and to the people, and they delivered the same message. He was teaching the children of Israel that they had to observe all things which God had commanded them. They had to collect the blood. And they had to do so that it could be applied to the home. And Moses gives the reason why. In verse 23 you read it. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door. And will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. The destroyer would not enter where the blood was applied in the home. The blood had to be applied, for this was what God had commanded. And I want you to consider that the blood to be applied had to be the blood of that slain lamb. It was not for them to go and get the blood of some other animal and to apply it to the home. But the lamb that was slain in the evening time was to be the blood that was applied to the house. The homes of the nation of Israel would be spared death on account of the lamb that had been slain and its blood shed and the blood marked in the home. And the words of our text also instruct us how the blood was to be applied. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. It was to be applied, or it was to be sprinkled on the door by the hyssop bunch. I understand the hyssop plant was a very small common bush or branch in the Holy Land. It grew out of the walls. And because of its leafy texture, because of its ability to absorb liquids very well, it was commonly used as an applicator or a brush. And especially in the Old Testament ceremonies, the hyssop bunch was used for the sprinkling or the application of blood. We haven't time tonight, but if you go home and look in Leviticus chapter 14, you'll see how it was used there with concerning to the leper. And I must say to you tonight, dear sinner, you are like the leper in the Scriptures. The leper who needs to be cleansed from your sin. And you might ask, what can wash away my sin? I tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But hear me out. It is not enough that Jesus died and shed his blood. Now that's not blasphemy. I want you to wait till I finish the sentence. It's not enough that Jesus died and shed his blood. The blood of Christ must be applied to your heart. I have heard Irish Presbyterian ministers, and they have thanked God that because his son died on the cross, that all therefore are pardoned. The sinner doesn't need to do anything. And that's what the people must have been taught from these pulpits. But I don't read that in the Bible, men and women. For my dear sinner friend, on the night of Passover, the lamb was slain. Its blood was collected. But the blood of that slain lamb, it had to be applied on the home if they were to see the death angel stayed off. And if you are to be saved tonight, The blood of Christ needs to be savingly applied to your heart. Preacher, how can I, as a guilty, hell-deserving sinner in danger of eternal death, have the blood of Christ savingly applied to my heart? It is by the hyssop bunch of faith. That's how. And I tell you in Ephesians chapter 2, in the words of verse 8, it tells me this: for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How can you have the blood of Christ savingly applied to your heart tonight? It is by the branch, the hyssop branch of faith. And I tell you that this gift of faith given by God cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I would that you would by faith lay hold upon God's Lamb. That just now you would by faith cry out for God's salvation in the person of Christ. And you would plunge neath that crimson flood. And you lose all your guilty stains. And just as the hyssop plant was a very small and a very weak plant, so your faith may be very small and it may be very weak. But by that childlike faith this evening, you can come to know, as the hymn writer was to pen, amazing grace, 'tis heaven below to know the blood applied. Ah, we see, you see, the hyssop, it brings us to Calvary again. The hyssop and the Passover connects us with Mount Calvary. For I read in John chapter 19 and verse 29, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop, put it to his mouth. There at Calvary, the hyssop plant was reached to the mouth of the Savior with a sponge full of vinegar in it. And this evening, the blood of Christ through faith, it can reach where you are, even in your sin. It doesn't matter how deep dyed your sin is. God's salvation is able to reach you. And the precious blood of Christ that we've already looked at is able to cleanse you from all your sin. For understand that if you are to be saved from sin, then it is absolutely essential that the blood of Christ is savingly applied to your soul. You've got to reach out by faith and take Christ as Lord and Savior. And know the cleansing in His precious blood. For not only is it the preciousness of the blood there, but there's also in my text the application of it. Let me show you finally here the protection of the blood. You see, the last part of the verse 22 says this: and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. I see into that Israelite home that Passover night. I see there the lamb is slain. Its blood has been collected in a basin. And I see the father of that home, and he goes out through the door into the street. And he does so with a hyssop bunch. With that hyssop branch, he sprinkles the blood on the lintel and the doorposts of the home in accordance to God's word. And I want you to understand that the blood applied in that home was sufficient to cover all that were in that house. It may have been that the family next door were too small for the lamb, and they were permitted to come in to join with their neighbors and to partake of the Passover lamb. But the blood that was sprinkled on the doorpost, it was also sufficient for their covering. To all that were in the house, it was sufficient for each one. In Egypt that night, there were only two types of people. There were those under the condemnation of death. And then there were those who were the Israelites, who were under the protection of the blood. It was the blood over the entrance to the home that protected them from the angel of death. And I have good news to you tonight, sinner. For it is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is also our protection. There are only two kinds of people under the sound of my voice tonight. There are those who are still under the wages of sin, which is death. They're under God's wrath. They're under God's condemnation. That's one type. But thank God there are also those, and they're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says to us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so the death angel may come. And the death angel comes to the child of God. He may take the body, but he can't take the soul. Can't take the soul. I'm under the blood of the Lord Jesus tonight. I wonder, are you? Are you under the Savior's blood? Are you protected tonight by the blood? It's not who you are. Listen, it's where you are. That's where your safety and your security lies. Are you under the blood this evening? I can see in that home the Father comes in. I can see the firstborn in the house, and he comes to his father and he says, Father, I don't feel safe. The death angel is coming tonight. I have heard that he's going to take the firstborn of every family, of every home, and I'm your firstborn. I don't feel safe, Daddy. And I see the father bending down to his child. And I hear that father saying to that child, but son, you don't have to be afraid, because the blood has been shed. It's not a matter of how you feel, whether you're saved or not. You're safe and secure, not on the basis of your feelings or what you've done or what you haven't done. But your safety lies in the fact that the blood provides the protection. It has been shed. And it's upon our home tonight. It has been applied. And dear sinner, in the gospel, you can have that same peace of heart and that same assurance in your, that all is well with your soul tonight. For whether you're a teenager or a little older, or whether you're a 50 or 60 year old man or woman, if you will repent of your sin, and if by that hyssop branch of faith you will reach out and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you will know that cleansing power in His precious blood, then you too will be eternally secure, eternally protected in the blood. Well, that's what the gospel gives to a sinner that comes to Christ. Aye, and it not only protects, but its power is continuous. For I read in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And the verb there is in the continuous tense. It keeps on cleansing us from all our sin. Its power never runs out. And David was to know that, for when he fell into a sin as a believer, we hear his prayer in Psalm 51 and verse 7. He says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What was he praying? He needed to know the continual application of the blood upon his heart. He needed to know the fresh cleansing. Maybe that is a prayer that one who is afar off from God tonight needs to pray. You're cold of heart. You don't look like a believer. You don't live like a Christian. Because you're in Bypath Meadow. Oh, that you would, by the hyssop of faith, get back to praying terms with God. You would know the blood cleansing you afresh from your backslidings. And God has said, I will take you in. I will forgive your sin. He'll restore unto you the joy of your salvation that you've lost. I tell you tonight, there's power in the blood. Revelation 12 and verse 11 reminds us. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame who? Overcame the devil. That's how powerful the blood is. And the devil may come to the young believer, or maybe even the old believer, and the devil may say to you, you aren't going to heaven when you die. And you can lift up the branch of hyssop of faith and say, there's power in the blood! The blood of Christ shuts up the devil every time. He's no answer for the blood. Hyssop was just a little flimsy plant. But it was that little flimsy plant that applied the blood in the home on the Passover night so that they were protected. Will you, by faith tonight, dear soul, even though that faith may be flimsy and weak, will you, by faith, repent of your sin? Acknowledge you're a sinner. Will you turn from that sin, and by faith will you lay hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you plead the power of the Savior's blood to cleanse you from all your sin tonight? And take Christ as your Savior. You need to get underneath the blood. Will you come tonight? I trust you well. May God bless His word to each of our hearts. For Christ's sake. Amen.